Praise the Lord. All right.
I love the youngest members of our congregation. It doesn't mean that I don't like the rest of y'all, but I, you know, it's such a blessing of the Lord to have young people in the congregation, because it is truly God's blessing on all of us to have children. So as we proceed this morning, let's think about what Jesus said about confessing Him before other people. And as we proceed, we want to look at the wisdom of Almighty God. It's brought forth from everlasting to everlasting. And how is it brought forth from everlasting to everlasting? It's brought forth by His Word, His living Word and His written Word. And it's written in James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. All that we need to do is yield to God's wisdom, and we receive it. He will give us the wisdom, the guidance that we need. Okay? Our Creator chose to redeem us. He didn't have to do that. He chose to redeem us. We only need to accept His gift, that free gift of salvation. Our confession is then experienced in the changes that He brings to our lives. God brings those changes in our lives, and that confession of Christ is observed in the changes that He brings, okay? And as we journey through Scripture this morning, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to guide you. I want you to see your confession. What is your confession to the world, okay? And with His love in our heart, we can follow where He leads. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and ears to receive the truth of God and act affirmatively. And if you will now open your Bible to the 10th chapter, the 10th chapter of Matthew's gospel record. And we're going to begin at verse 32 and read through verse 39. That's Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 32 and reading through verse 39. And this is where it's written, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word today. Confessing Christ is following Christ. Confessing Christ is picking up that which He has given to us, a cross, something that we carry. There's a duty, and our responsibility to Christ is to fill that duty, to fulfill the obligations of our walk, to allow God to work in our lives. And God does, if we let Him. Followers of Christ begin their journey by confessing Christ. We confess that we believe He is the Son of the living God, the one written of in the Scriptures that we call the Bible. And by our confession, we have pledged our allegiance to the Hebrew Messiah as Lord. And He saved us from our sin. But what does it mean to have Him as our Lord? The word Lord appears almost 8,000 times in Scripture. It's a pretty big number. And in the New Testament, the Greek root word is kurios. And the New Testament Greek lexicon offers the following definition for kurios: he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding, master, lord. And then it continues that the possessor and disposer of a thing is the Lord, the owner, one who has control of the person, the master. He's our Lord. He's our master. He guides us. We follow Him. Lord is a title of honor that's expressive of respect and reverence. And this is what servants greet their master with. Lord. This title is given to God. It's given to the Messiah. It stands to reason by definition. If you confess Christ as your Lord, then you belong to Him. You're His. And in fact, it's written in Scripture in more than one place. One place is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 that tells believers you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought and paid for. You belong to God. If in fact you have confessed Christ, you are His. You're owned. You're no longer your own. And there's other passages of Scripture that cover that. We're told that our body and spirit belong to God, and therefore we are to glorify Him both in body and in spirit, the way that we live our lives, the way that we conduct ourselves, and in our worship, the way that we conduct ourselves in worship to Almighty God. Does anything that doesn't please Him glorify God? Is there anything that doesn't please God that glorifies Him? What doesn't please God? Sin. It doesn't glorify God. And as followers of Christ, those who have confessed Christ, what do? We seek to follow after Him, which is that sinless path. Doesn't mean that we don't sin, because obviously we're all human and we all slip, we fail, whatever, and then He gives us grace to carry us through. But we're seeking to walk His way. If He is our Lord, then we will seek to walk His way, to follow after Him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is your Lord if you've confessed Him. And if He is your Lord, then you follow after Him. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's written, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Where do we find that? Right here in His Word. His Word tells us what's acceptable to Him, and it tells us what's not acceptable to Him. And if we're following Christ, then we're going to follow after the will of God, and that is what pleases Him. And we're doing what we do in life, and our goal is to please God. It's to follow after Christ. If you belong to Him, He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your superior. In fact, the word Lord in the New Testament says He's the supreme in command. That's part of the definition. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. His way is illuminated by wisdom to accept His grace to choose righteousness. You're wise if you choose to follow Him. You're not wise if you don't. Remember what the Scripture says. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. It takes wisdom to acknowledge that God actually exists, and He's brought salvation to humanity, and we need only to accept what He has brought. His lordship is observed in how you live your life. As your Lord, He enables you to follow Him and have victory over the enemies of your soul. Christ paid the price for our souls to be bought back from the one that we were enslaved to. He bought us out of darkness by His sacrifice. We who once walked in darkness have seen a great light. We who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon us a light has shined. This was prophesied by Isaiah. Think about chapter 14 of Romans in verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, verse 36, it relates that He's Lord of all. He's the supreme in command over all. All who confess Him become His possession. He owns us. He holds on to us. He tells us, I will never let you go. I will never let you go. It's written in the 10th chapter of Romans. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what we're enjoying. This is what we rejoice in daily. We've been saved, but saved from what? On this end of eternity, we're saved from sin. We're saved from that prison of sin. We're no longer bound. Believing, though, is more than an assent of your mind. You just don't say, yeah, I believe that's the truth. It's more than just accepting the truth as truth. The demons believe and tremble, James tells us. They believe he's the Messiah. They got that part straight. But they're still condemned to burn in eternal torment. That's what the Word tells us. Confessing Christ brings us into His fold. If we are His, we're expected to follow Him from then on. We're following Christ. We're brought into His fold. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. We follow Him. That's the picture throughout Scripture. Following Him is listening to and obeying His commands. He said, "My sheep know My voice. They hear Me." They follow Him. Following and listening and obeying to His commands is what we're seeing in Scripture. Anything else isn't following Him. Think about a soldier in the armed forces. They can't say they're following the commander if they refuse to obey him. True or false? It's the truth. Those who confess Christ follow Him where? Away from sin. Follow Him out of that prison of sin. We were bound in sin. He came and by grace opened that prison up and said, "Come on, you can come out. You're no longer locked into that prison. You're no longer stuck in there. You don't have to stay there. Nobody can make you sin any longer because you're no longer and locked up in that prison of sin." Those who confess Christ follow Him out of it. By Christ we receive forgiveness. Indeed, we're pardoned of our sins. His sacrifice lets our sin go as if they've never been committed. We're freed. We're no longer bound to that sin. The debt that we owed and were unable to pay has been paid. He paid it. It's been canceled. It's wiped out. Can you imagine you get your credit card statement in the mail and you haven't paid anything and it's wiped out? The debt you owe is gone. Somebody else paid the debt. Christ paid the debt. Your mortgage statement comes in and paid in full. That's where you are in Christ. Your sins are paid in full. God's grace has done that. The charges were dropped. The penalty was withdrawn. And so, is our confession of Christ a one-time thing? I confess Jesus. I can live any way I care to. Or is it an ongoing thing? Is it a daily walk? Take heed, it's written in Hebrews chapter 3, "Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end, while it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Today. And when you get to tomorrow, it's today again. And each day is today. We're to exhort one another. We're to strengthen one another. We're to bind ourselves together as a body, His body. And how do we do that? By His grace. We set aside our differences. We have an eclectic group here. And we were having a conversation this week, earlier this week, and we were talking about that. We have people from different faith denominations that have come out of different denominations or who visit with us from different denominations. And together, we're able to be that body of Christ that meets in this building, the congregation of God's people who are following Christ to the best of our ability by going with His Word, His will, His way. Put God's Word in your heart and your confession will be observed in what you say and what you do daily. What we say and what we do come forth from the heart. Our daily confession of Christ places us in subjection to Him to serve Him. Remember, He owes us. If He owns us, who are we in subjection to? Who do we yield to? Who do we allow to move in our lives? Who do we allow to direct our steps? And I'm picking little bits and pieces of different Scripture to point it out to you. We are following Him. By our daily confession, we trade temporary things for eternal things. We trade sinful pleasure for earthly treasure. That's what the Word shows us. By grace, we willingly break the competition for loyalty. We can't serve two masters. We can't serve sin that leads to death and Christ that leads to life. God breaks that out of us and He says, "Here you go, okay, this is what it looks like. And in you, whoever you are, me, points to me and He says, 'John, this is what it looks like. This is what I don't want in you. How about we let that go?' And I say, 'Yes, Lord, help me to leave it go.'" Give me the power. Give me the ability. Because of my own, I have no strength. I can't overdo anything that I have in my life except by God and His grace. Our confession is founded upon Christ. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation, the rock of our salvation." And our confession is built upon Him, the rock of our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 through 15, it's written, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." God's going to purge all the things He doesn't like in our lives. When we get to that final stage, that which is not of Him will be burned away. Our confession is founded upon Christ. By our confession of Christ, we become the holy temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. And that's written in several places in Scripture. He commands our destiny by our submission to Him. He commands our destiny. This is where you're going. You're mine. This, I'm going here. You're coming with me. He takes a hold of us if He owns us, and He brings us to where He wants us to be. We yield. Sometimes we yield willingly, and sometimes He takes us through a trial or a tribulation, fire as it is on earth. And He says, "Do you see what I want from your life? Here's what I want. I own you. You live for me." Simple, right? Really simple. If we get it, it's simple. He commands our destiny. If anyone defiles the temple of God, it says, and it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. This is right after saying, you're the temple. You don't want to be destroyed by God. Don't defile the temple. And what does he say defiles the temple? All kinds of things, and you have to find that in Scripture. I'm not going to give you the list, the laundry list. In case anybody might deceive themselves by human wisdom into believing something else, we're instructed in 1 Corinthians 3:18 to become a fool, that we may become wise. Drop the human wisdom, drop the human doctrines, drop those teachings of men, and look at what the Scripture says. Follow what God's Word says. Take His Word on its ground, right here. Take it, use it, accept it, and let it reveal in you where God wants you to be. A confession of Christ, an ongoing confession, by word, with our mouth, and by deed, how we live. It's a proclamation to the world that we follow the only sinless human who ever walked the planet. God's grace enables us to walk in our confession. We walk in our confession. We don't just say it and walk away. As James says, a man that does that, he looks in the mirror, he sees himself, and he walks away and forgets. He's not a doer of the word. He's a hearer only. Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" If he's your Lord, he's in charge. But if you determine your own way, who's your Lord then? We must be willing to submit to God's wisdom and authority. He asks you to do the most difficult thing in your life. His word asks you to do the most difficult thing in your life. And what is that? To give up whatever you love the most. So that it doesn't compete with Him. Because He's your Lord. He's the one you follow. He's the one. You can't serve two masters. You're going to serve Him. Instead of whatever else it is that you're serving, He wants you to drop that. Let go of that. His Word says so. Nothing in the world is equal to salvation. We give up. There's a modern, more modern Christian song that says, we give up all of us for all of Him. We give up all that we are for all that He is. Believing is tied to obedience. They're inseparable. If you believe, you receive grace, the grace of God, and you're able by His grace to overcome temptation and live your life obediently to the will of God. And where do you find His will but in His Word? Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's written in Galatians chapter 5. Jesus said the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. We go to the throne of God boldly, but we're not over God. We're not over Christ. We go with reverence. Boldly, but reverently. Boldly means we can go there. But reverently means we have awesome fear of God. Do you believe that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins? Do you believe that God has delivered us from the power of darkness? Do you believe that He's conveyed us unto the kingdom of the Son of His love? Do you believe that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins? Confess it. God's Word says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You want to beat something that's worldly? You want to beat something that's holding you back? You want to get control? Do you want to overcome? You want to be the overcomer? Ask God. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill those things of the flesh. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We are no longer enslaved by whatever it was that had us enslaved. If we confess Christ and we're filled with His Spirit, we become the temple of Almighty God. We do not defile His temple, and we live in His will and His way, walking along His path, following the one before us. Our Lord. Our confession of Christ leads us to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we do not let sin reign in our mortal body, that we should obey it in its lusts. This is the Word of God. This isn't the Word of John the preacher. This is God's Word. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For you, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. We're children of God. We've been bought and paid for. We've been grafted in. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We've been brought in. And I'm talking about us, the people here in this room today. If indeed we have confessed Christ, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Did you get the short list there? It's not all-encompassing. Anything that draws us out of the grace of God, that draws us away from what God wants us to be doing, where He wants us to be, how He wants us to live, anything that draws us out doesn't please Him. It's not to His glory. And as I wrap this up, I'll remind you that the whole New Testament proves and affirms the Lordship of Christ. If you confess Him, He is your Lord. He owns you. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price, and you owe your allegiance to Him. Christ our Lord is the word of faith that we confess and proclaim. We don't just confess it for ourselves and walk away with it. We take it and we share it with the rest of the world. Go into all the world, Jesus said. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teach them what He's commanded you. He commanded those people to teach others what He commanded. And those people were then also likewise given the command to teach His commands. This is why we focus on the Word of Christ. His commandments matter. It's written in Joel, and it'll come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. If you haven't called upon the name of the Lord, and call upon His name. If you have something that's plaguing you in your life today, call upon His name and ask Him to drive it out of you. Give you the power, give you the strength, whatever it is, to overcome it. Peter wrote, "The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He wants us to turn from those things that don't please him. He wants us to walk in the things that do. Have you confessed Christ before men? If so, he'll confess you before his Father and the angels. But if not, whoever denies him before men, Christ will also deny them before his Father who's in heaven. That's what he said. Followers of Christ begin their journey by confessing him, but that's not the end of it. We don't just confess him and that's it. It's over. We live following him. We live confessing him. That's our confession in the way that we're walking. He's our leader. He's the one that bought and paid for me, and I'm following after him. Pledge your allegiance to the Hebrew Messiah as your Lord, and he will save you from your sin by God's grace. Give him all. Yield your whole life. Yield everything to him. Let him prune you. Let him trim you. Let him do the work in your life. Confess Christ daily by word and deed. Reveal to the world that you follow the only sinless human to ever walk the planet. And build upon that foundation of Christ every day. Build upon it with gold and silver and precious stones as you follow your Lord where he leads. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I trust, Lord, that I have stayed true to it today. And I ask, Lord, if there be anything that is not true to your word, I ask that you would strike it from the hearts and the minds of these people. But, Lord, where it is true, and I trust that it is, I ask that you would hold it in their hearts, Lord, that they would know, absolutely know, that their confession is real, that they would know how they live and how it pleases you. By confessing Christ daily, that he is the Lord, and we're following him. I pray this all in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now we're going to open our hymnals to number 383. And we're going to sing together, "Follow, I Will Follow Thee." And Jamie will lead us in our singing this morning.